Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series of That One Play. Got a good one for you today. We look back to 2000. We're going to talk about a play from that New York Jets game in week 17. And here to talk about it with me is Jason Smith, Huddle It Up Films. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing real well, Ken. This is a fun series, so I'm glad to participate. So glad you asked me. Have a kind of a funny story, and it was an interesting day.
All right. That's great. Set it up for us. I obviously know a fair amount of the history around this. I'll jump in as I need to.
Sure. So, you know, this is the year 2000, our Super Bowl run. We had won a bunch of games in a row. The last game of the season's coming up. I had a chance to go to the game. And I'm in my early 20s at this point, and I hadn't been to the stadium all that much. Of course, the team came in 96, so this is the year 2000. So I got a chance to go with my stepfather, and I'm like, man, you know, this team is great. This might be our year, finally. Things are coming together. Can't believe it. The first great team I've seen in Baltimore. Let me go ahead, be a part of this history, go to the last regular season game of the season at home against the Jets, who were a good team, but not a great team. Our former quarterback, Vinny Testaverde, coming to town. So the week before, Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, we had clinched a playoff spot. We could finally say playoffs. We had finally made it to the playoffs. So heading to this game, really excited, getting to see this team, the greatest defense of all time, and on their way to the playoffs. And it was more of a celebratory day. Like, we made it. We still have a slim chance to win the division, but we're in the playoffs nonetheless. Let's go see Ray Lewis in this great defense play. So that was the mood of the day.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree in terms of the mood. And it was kind of a happy-go-lucky, maybe something good will happen. But the Tennessee Titans had to lose to the Dallas Cowboys, who were truly hapless. The Ravens already beaten them 27-0. And Tennessee didn't play until Monday night, which was, they don't do that anymore. But they did back then. And so Tennessee, if they had lost that Monday night game, would then have had to play in the wild card round on some short rest, which something that the NFL's actually cleaned up about their schedule making in the years since.
Made it more fair. Yes. All the games are to be determined on Sunday now, and they'll have that one Sunday night game nowadays. But yes, yeah, so, you know, and the Titans, of course, were so good. Ravens were so good that we weren't really expect, for me at least, we weren't expecting to win. And oh man, if we win, we could win the division. Of course, there was only three divisions back then, Ken. I think the AFC, the Central. It was called, right? The old AFC Central had six teams in it. So, it, you know, for me, the mood and for the crew was, let's get a chance to see this team before it goes into the playoffs. It wasn't really a tense game. It was more of a fun time. And the game was anything else but fun, Ken. It was just an excruciating beginning to the game. Now you got to remember here, well, I know you do, but we had given up, what was it, 145 points in 15 games.
148. Yep. Oh, wait, so, 34 to 20. You're right. 145.
So we had given up less than 10 points per game. Mm-hmm. all season long coming up to this game, less than 10 points, best defense ever. Looking at the 85 Bears, I'm like, man, this defense. And some point during that season, I felt, Ken, that you know, this team just looks unstoppable. They didn't, nobody could do anything against us. So, you know, we were having our fun. Vinny Interceptiverdi's coming to town, and we're going to get him. And you know, the Jets won the toss, and they took the ball, which you don't see today a lot. And they went right down the field on us. I believe it was a touchback, or it was like a 70-some-yard drive. Scored a touchdown. Dilfer threw an interception. And the Jets comes right down again, score another touchdown. And we were down 14-0 in the first quarter, first three drives. So, you know, the stadium was in shock. I don't know if you were there at that day. Oh, yeah. I imagine you were. The stadium was in shock. And, you know, I'm like, did I bring bad luck on this team, Ken? What the heck am I watching? This isn't right.
Absolutely. So a whole bunch of things going wrong early in this game. Incredible number of possessions in this game, and most of it driven by the fact that the Ravens just couldn't hold on to the football. But the New York Jets possessed the football 20 times in this game. The Ravens, and this is actually a good thing when you think about it, possessed it 16 times. It's always good because, you know, you got a couple interception returns, touchdown returns, whatever. We're going to talk about one of those, fumble returns, whatever it might have been. But anyway, the Ravens possessed it only 16 times in relative sense. But the York Jets, no one had really tried to beat the Ravens with the spread offense all year, or no one had been really able to. So they came out firing away. Krebet was their slot receiver. They had I think I said Dedrick Ward, I think, was on that team, right?
Dedrick Ward and Richie Anderson. And you're right. Testaverde threw 40 sometimes. Like, they didn't even try to run the ball. 69. Vinny Testaverde, 36 completions, 36 completions, 69 attempts, 481 yards. Vinny Testaverde threw for us this day. So it was not fun, Ken. It was not fun. Go ahead. Sorry.
There's so much to this. I mean, so much to unpack. But I want to hit on the Testaverde attempts thing. Testaverde had a sack on the last series he took. If they hadn't taken a sack and he got that pass off, would have been the most attempts ever in an NFL game at the time. I don't know if it's been top since. It may well have been. But it was a ridiculous number of attempts. He threw a huge number of interceptions in the game. I want to say four or something.
Three, I'm looking at.
There you go.
He was only sacked once, it says. So I'm having a fun time looking through the box score here.
So that sack was at the end of the game. It was on that last drive. So, yep, on second and three, he was sacked for 8 yards by Rob Burnett. So anyway,
I was going to say, Ken, and imagine this: they only ran the ball 19 times. That's low for today's game. You're talking about the year 2000. So they basically, like, I guess you're about to say, we're the first team to say, you know what, we can't run on this team. The heck with it. We're just going to throw it every time.
Mm-hmm. They also, Curtis Martin, who was the running back for the Jets at the time, actually ran on the last play of the game. So they were down two touchdowns. They said, okay, we just want to end this with 20 seconds left. And then another chance for Testaverde to get the total attempts record for one game went by the board. It's not that that's that important. The key thing about this is the Ravens, their possessions in 16 possessions, they only had one. Let's make it easiest. They had two drives that went over four plays. One went five and one went six. And just, you know, an absurd lack of offensive output for the Ravens. And I'm sure you'll tell us where their points came from.
So, Ken, you know, he just set it up great. Sorry, it made me laugh. But that's how bad it was on offense. You know, it was three and outs. And we still ended up with 34 points on this day. So the play that made you laugh when I told you about what play that I remember from back in the day was, okay, so, you know, just to paint the picture, Jets are up 14-0 after they had the ball twice and we had thrown an interception. Like I said, Ravens start coming back. Kadri Ismail catches a touchdown pass. Matt Stover kicks a field goal. We get a safety in the second quarter. So we start climbing back, and then the Jets started driving the ball again, Ken. And this is right before halftime. So the play that I'm highlighting, I look up. I'm like frustrated. I'm like, man, you know, I bet you it's going to be the bathrooms are going to be crowded as you know what come halftime. I'm like, you know, I don't feel like watching this. This doesn't look right. Let me clear my head. We're probably going to stop them, Ken. They'll probably kick a field goal on us, you know. But they already got down there again, driving on us. Let me go use the bathroom real quick before anybody gets there. I get back to my seat. So walk to the bathroom, short walk, had pretty good seats. And I'm getting to the bathroom and I'm literally standing there at the urinal doing the deed. And the entire stadium erupts to the point where it like shook me. You know, I'm lucky I didn't go all over myself right there. So like, what happened? What the, you know, what the heck happened? And, you know, it turns out it was a 98-yard interception return. So you can imagine.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And it was a roar and then a build up and then another roar. So it sounded like, you know, all this is going on while I'm just trying to finish in there. And then I came out and saw the 2-point conversion. Jamal Lewis had run in for a 2-point conversion. So I watched that from like the, you know, the TV and the grandstand, because the first thing I had to do was look what the heck happened. And then I kind of get back to my seat and just like you would probably do to your friend if he got up and some greatness happened and left, you tell him, hey, man, why don't you go back to the bathroom again so some more good stuff can happen.
There you go.
So I got a hard time from the fans around me and the stepdad and all that. So that was the play. That was the play. I was in the bathroom probably for one of the most dramatic plays of an otherwise dreary day. But there was some fun plays at the end of the game. But
there was more drama to come.
Have you ever missed a play like that where you were just so frustrated and, you know, needed to take a walk, or maybe you had a story like mine and you ended up missing something good?
I'm trying to think. I can tell you there has been twice where I've left the stadium and run back in because something happened to reverse the fortunes. And one was in 96 or 97 against Jacksonville when they had a late fumble. I think it was in 96. That put them back in the game. Then Testaverde four and out it anyway. So that was that. And then the other one was the field goal that wasn't against the Browns, where they thought they had the game won, and then they called it a field goal because it hit the supporting post in the back, and I was already outside the stadium. And the first time, the guy, this is in 96, 97, whichever it was. Usher tells me you can't get back in with it in a ticket. I'm like, you know, that's crazy. I just came from here. And then I remembered I had an extra ticket that I hadn't used, and I used that. So
anyway, it was
one of those things that screw you, Mr. Usher, you know, pull that on me.
So the Browns game, though, the players had taken their tape off and, you know, their shoulder pads off, and Ken had left the stadium. That was a brutal day to watch at home.
Yes. Like I did get back in for overtime for that game as well. But this game, this had a lot going on for the Ravens on this particular play. A little pass out, not quite to the flat, tight number two to the outside, we'll call it, to Dedrick Ward. McAllister was laying in wait. And I think Testaverde had probably done some staring on the play, although I didn't go back and watch it to make sure of that. But I still have the visual memory of McAllister just stepping right in front of that pass as if he knew it was coming all along. And there was no catching him. And great run down the right sideline. And really just a you know, one of the really fond memories from that game. And I remember sitting next to someone who was really down on the Ravens for it. He goes, you know, where did the Ravens get all their points? Turnovers. You know, that's, it's like, that's useless. Good teams will never turn the ball over. You know, they went on to have a 12-2 turnover margin in the playoffs, of course. But then we had a couple more punt returns from Jermaine Lewis later in the game.
I mean, you know, you say it so casually, Ken, but again, you know, 34 points, not one, but two Jermaine Lewis punt return touchdowns. So you mentioned the drives differential, how the Jets had 20 drives, whatever it was. And you also mentioned the three and outs and the, what was it, two drives of more than four plays, I think you said. Mm-hmm. So just a pathetic day on offense. But we scored on a safety. We scored on a 98-yard interception return. And we scored on two Jermaine Lewis punt returns. The last one, 89 yards, Ken, coming right at me in the stadium. Just was a great feeling, you know, as a young guy who hadn't seen much football live at that point since, of course, our old team had left town. So it was just a really memorable day, really memorable day. I'll never forget the McAllister interception return just because of where I was and the, you know, the bad words I said at the time and, you know, just being all upset with myself that I missed it. And, you know, leaving the stadium, Ken, just, you know, I know these are short series, but leaving the stadium, I didn't feel much better about the team than I did going in because it was more of the, geez, a whiz, man, we can't score. Dilfer looks terrible. This offense doesn't look good. You know, the Jets just decided to spread us out and throw the ball all over the place. Is this the end? You know, is this?
I got one more comment to make related to this is that the Ravens are often bantied about the defense is poo-pooed for the fact that they played a kind of a weak regular season schedule. You can only play the teams that they schedule against you, which is, you know, a function obviously now of what happens the year before. But in this case, the Ravens played their best defensive ball of the year in the playoffs by far, as great as they were during the regular season, setting the record for points. They were a hell of a lot better in the playoffs, and they faced some offenses which tried to do some of the things that the Jets had done to some yardage effect. And a lot of the announcers and national pundits really didn't believe in the Ravens after that game, after the 500 yards allowed, after the Ravens offensively had done so little against the Jets team. The Jets needed to win that game, by the way. They needed to win and be in themselves. So they had a tough road to hoe coming to Baltimore.
Yes, you know, and, you know, of course, I was with the Ravens and chip on the shoulder and everything. But, you know, my honest feelings leaving that day, Ken, were, man, you know, Tennessee had its own style, smash mouth style like we did. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders, you know, they were the number one seed. If I say anything incorrect here, Ken, correct me.
They were the Raiders were
the number two?
Yes, Tennessee was the one.
Okay. Yeah. Rich Gannon was the MVP, though, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so, you know, going to the Raiders, for instance, I'm thinking, man, you know, Rich Gannon, the regular season MVP, you know, maybe they could spread it out on us and have some success on us. You know, it was just, it felt like it was too good to be true, Ken, this team. Because we had seen the team struggle. We finally got the 500, and this team was the first, like, really good team that we had seen. So, I mean, I didn't have anything other Ravens teams really to compare it to. I didn't have anything else to compare it to since then, really. I mean, the defense was that good. The offense was that bad. But the defense was just so dominant, and it ended up carrying us, obviously, watching the Bullies of Baltimore 30 for 30. But yeah, all the starters were there, Ken, that day. There wasn't any resting of anybody. So I got to see all 11 of the names, really 12, when you count the nickel player. Who was that?
Robert
Bailey. So I got to see the whole crew in effect as they operated through the season. So it was quite a joy.
Yeah. All right. Outstanding. So glad to have you on, Jason, to talk about this. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. You can talk to me on Twitter at Huddle It Up Films. You can also check out my YouTube, Huddle It Up Films, on there. Ken, in the middle of released 27 videos in the last 27 days, still have 14 or 15 more to go, doing one a day. Player cut-ups, basically highlights of their season, no filler. It's just basically play after play after play, no crowd shots, no celebration shots. So you can see how these players accumulated their stats and what they look like when they're going well. So check me out over there, subscribe, watch a few videos. You'll find something you like.
Got good voiceover from you for all those cutups?
No, I could use, you're the one with the pipes, Ken. I could use, by the way, did you hear the guy doing the Super Bowl last night? The introductions?
No, I don't think I did.
How you doing now for Super Bowl 58? Blah, blah, blah. You didn't hear that? Okay. Right. Yeah. You go back and watch the intros. That guy has some. That's the guy I need.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do one of these, we're being as inclusive as possible. As many people as we can to get the microphone. I want to have that happen. Just DM me on Twitter. They're always open. Give me any play you want. If you need help finding one, I'll do that. I've been putting out several suggestions every day. People seem to be picking up on them. So look for those, and I'd love to hear from you. Jason, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.